you have your Bible, take it and turn with me tonight to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke. Yeah. Chapter 14. Sounds a little loud. Luke chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Verse 4. Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to pick up probably with the 25th verse. And we'll go down to the end, verse 35. It says in verse 25, there was a great multitude with him, that is with Jesus. And he turned and he said unto them, and what he said really must have shook them. I mean, any man that had a great crowd following them probably wouldn't tell them what Jesus told them. Basically, what he said would thin the crowd for sure. He begins by saying, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he can't be my disciple. Says in verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Says in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So three times he tells them, you know what? You can't be my disciple. Unless. Now, understand something about Jesus. When I was with Brother Craig last week at the prophecy conference, in the morning, I did a session on what I call the Jewishness of Jesus. You have to remember that Jesus was a Galilean rabbi. And by that, I don't mean he had the rabbinical training that rabbis today undergo. But Jesus was a recognized religious teacher. And during his ministry years, Jesus actually traveled all over the Galilee teaching. And because first century Galilee was really at the center of Jewish religious learning, most of the villages, if not all of them in the Galilee, had their own little synagogue. And so you read in the scriptures that Jesus went to these villages and he taught in their synagogues. Attached to these synagogues usually were little schools. We would call them schools, but they would call them the Beit Sefer, or a place where elementary school-age children up to the age of 13 would study the Torah. And about at 13, they would either go and be an apprentice with their father or someone else. Some of them would want to further their education. And so they would then enter the Beit Midrash. And they would learn there the Tanakh, the rest of the Jewish Bible. There were few that would desire to continue beyond. They were exceptional students. They would desire to continue beyond that level. And so these would look for a favorite rabbi that they would want to follow. And they would set up an interview or a meeting with that particular rabbi. And they would ask, by volunteering, to be his student, to be his disciple. The Hebrew word for disciple is Talmid. Now, Galilee was the prime place where young Jewish men went to learn from their favorite rabbi, where they would become a Talmid, a disciple. And don't misunderstand this, because being a disciple of a rabbi was not about salvation, but it was about following. It was about following that particular rabbi to learn his view of the scripture, which of course would require you to give up everything that you were doing at the time, give it all up to be with that rabbi 24/7 for a number of years. And it was your desire as a Talmid not only to be with the rabbi, but in observing him and spending all this time with him, to end up being like him, get his understanding of the Bible, partake of his relationship with God. That's what a Talmid was. Well, Jesus, as I said, was a Galilean rabbi, and he had his Talmidim. That's the plural of a Talmud, a Talmid. He had his Talmidim, but there are several unique features about Jesus's disciples, or Jesus's version of discipleship. As I said a moment ago, young men, young Jewish men, would approach their favorite rabbi, their chosen, their rabbi of choice, and they would ask that rabbi if they could be his Talmid. But that's not how Jesus did it. When you read the Gospels, it didn't happen that way. It was actually the opposite. And he chose them. He chose them to follow. He called them to be his followers. He was walking, for instance, along the Sea of Galilee, on the seashore. He saw some fishermen, and he said, "Follow me." He's inviting them to be his Talmidim. And we're told by Jesus in that great chapter that we looked at, John 15, that he said to them, "You've not chosen me, I've chosen you." And so that's the method that is so unique to Jesus. And when Jesus calls these men to follow him, to be his followers, to leave everything else that they were doing at the moment and follow him, he is telling them what these Galilean rabbis all meant by that, and that is, I want you to be like me. I want you to be like me, so follow me. There are three requirements in this Luke 14 passage to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, that is very clear, and I stressed it in just the verses that I read. The first requirement is in verse 25, rather verse 26 and verse 27. Actually, verse 25 and 26. Notice again, he says in verse 26, "If any man come to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." If you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be a true disciple of Jesus, here's the first requirement. You ready for it? Total devotion to him. Total devotion. To be a true follower of Jesus, to be a true disciple of Jesus, you have to have a love of commitment to him, of devotion to Jesus, that is so great that in comparison, your love for your family, and by the way, we love our family so much, sometimes we forsake the call of God because we demand to be able to be near our family. We love our family more than we love Jesus. Or sometimes our love for family is so great that parents do not allow their children to follow the will of God, the call of God in their lives, because it would take their children into a place of danger to their lives. And so they restrain them because they want to preserve their children from dangerous places. Well, he says here, if you want to be a true follower of Jesus, your devotion to him has to be so great that your love for your family, that all of your romantic relationships, that even your natural love for yourself, and let me tell you, you and I love ourselves. That's why Jesus says we ought to love others as we love ourselves. It's assumed, it's a given. We love ourselves a lot. And so we're supposed to love others as we love ourselves. But what he's saying here, if you're going to be my disciple, my Talmid, it requires such total devotion that your love for family and even your love for your natural love for yourself is like hate in comparison. What he calls us to is a total devotion to Jesus, an unequivocal and an unrivaled love to him. That our love for Jesus is absolutely supreme. There is nothing that comes close to it. Not even a spouse. Not even a mother. Total devotion. That's the first requirement in verse 26 of Luke 14. You ready for the second one? Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Here's the second one. Not only total devotion, but I call this sacrificial denial. Sacrificial denial. To be a true follower of Jesus. To really be his disciple, his Talmid. You have to give yourself to Jesus in such complete surrender that you don't count your life something that is to be protected at all costs. Your plans are no longer to be cherished above God's will for your life. You're willing to have your physical life even cut short if need be. You're willing to set aside your plans and leave them unfulfilled in order to do the will of God. That is sacrificial denial. Total devotion, sacrificial denial. That's two out of three necessities for calling yourself a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, the Hebrew word for it, a Talmid of Jesus. So far, how do we stack up? How do we measure up to this? Well, there's a third requirement. He says in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my... Three times, you disqualify yourself as a disciple of mine if, number one, there's not total devotion. Number two, there's not sacrificial denial. And number three, I call this, verse 33, I call it material deprival. Material deprival. Depriving yourself of material things. To be a true follower or disciple of Jesus, you have to be willing to be deprived of all that you consider to be a normal right of ownership or of advancement of yourself. you're willing to be materially deprived in order to fulfill God's call and will for your life. Sometimes that would be that you are denied what is a normal right of home ownership. We hear a lot about that, and people wanting to throw money at first-time home buyers. Well, guess what? It may not be the will of God for every believer to own a home. In order to serve the Lord, you know, I don't want to use us as an example, but my wife and I were married almost 40 years before we ever owned a home. We rented all those years, and people will tell us every once in a while, oh, you're throwing your money away, you're renting, you're throwing your money, that could be invested in a home. But you know what? It wasn't God's will for me to own a home. Material deprival. It's giving up the rights that seem to be normal for ownership and advancement. May not be able to own a vehicle, may not be able to have a savings account or a retirement account or a pension. Or it may end up that you can't have that job or that career advancement or whatever it might be, because God's called you to do something that would prevent that. And so it brings about a material deprival in your life. That's what he's talking about in that 33rd verse. Well, those are pretty stiff, aren't they? That's a pretty high bar. We've seen the high jump or the pole vault and track and field athletics. That's a high bar to get over. Three times, you can't be my disciple unless, number one, you have total devotion to Jesus. You have a sacrificial denial of yourself in order to follow Jesus, and a material deprival of normal rights of ownership and advancement to follow Jesus. Well, So look back with me for a moment at verse 28 to 32. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower," let's just say a building, construct a building, "sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it," whether you have the money to not only start the building project, but to complete it. Verse 29, "lest haply," or perhaps he has, when he's laid the foundation, he's not able to finish. He's not able to build the superstructure and the foundation. He runs out of money. And then everyone that sees it will begin to laugh at him, mock him. That's a picture. They say, "This man began to build and he ran out of money. He's not able to finish the job." Verse 31 and 32. Or what king, or let's say general, leader, goes to make war against another king, it doesn't sit down first and consult with, of course, his cabinet or his counselors, doesn't sit down first and consult whether he be able with 10,000 soldiers to meet his enemy that cometh against him with 20,000 men. Or else, while the enemy is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, he sends a messenger and desires to work out a peace treaty. Let's call off the war. I don't have enough to go up against you. Kind of embarrassing situations, both of them. What is he saying? He's saying that the cost of discipleship has to be evaluated. But wait a minute. Look at this more closely, perhaps, than you have in the past. And I remember when this hit me between the eyes, years, decades ago. It was brought to my attention that the person that is evaluating the cost is the person that is doing the building, the person in charge of the project. The person that is counting the cost is the leader, the king that is in charge of the army. And when you take that into consideration in the context here, then the person that is to evaluate the cost is the one that is in charge of the building program, the one that is in charge of the battle. And that's not the disciple. That's the rabbi. That's the teacher. If you're going to be Jesus's follower, you need to understand that he has already counted the cost for you. That's why he lays it out so clearly. You can't be my disciple unless you are ready to give total devotion to me, unless you are ready to sacrificially deny yourself, unless you're ready to materially deprive yourself. You can't. I've counted the cost, and this is the cost, and this is the terms, and if you can't handle it, then don't agree to it. Just as a person in charge of either building or battling would not begin either without ensuring that there are resources to complete the task or to win the war. What Jesus is saying is, I have counted the cost of discipleship already for you, and you can completely depend upon me for all the resources that it will take. I can give you the total devotion that you need. I can enable you to sacrificially deny yourself. I have the resources to enable you to be willing to materially deprive yourself the rights of ownership and advancement. That's what true, real discipleship really is. It's living a God-dependent Christ life. Jesus said in another passage this. He said to those that at least believed in him intellectually, he said, if you continue in my word, then you shall be my disciples. If you continue in my word, continue, key word in that passage. That word continue is translated abide in John 15. And we've already defined for you when we looked at John 15 what that word abide means. To continue in his word or to abide in his word is to depend upon the Lord and the word that he has spoken. And so you depend upon God for the spiritual enablement to be totally devoted, to be sacrificially denying yourself, and even suffering material deprival to follow him. You depend upon the Spirit's enablement for that. In other words, you and I can never measure up to being disciples if we just are going to make up our minds and grit our teeth and go full steam ahead. We'll fall flat on our face. That's not what it's about. It's living a God-dependent life where Christ in you enables you and his life flows out from your innermost being. Living that kind of a life is how then you fulfill another command that Jesus gives to us. He says, not only are you to be my disciple, not only are you to be my follower, but I'm sending you to make other followers. Go, therefore, into all the nations and make disciples. Make them followers. And that's how you do it. by living a God-dependent Christ life. That's what qualifies you to make disciples. So without these three ingredients, total devotion, sacrificial denial, and material deprival, without these three ingredients, we're disqualified from being Jesus's disciples or Talmid. And if that's the case, if we are disqualified, and there's no reason that we have to be, because we get this from him and not from ourselves, as I just said. If we're disqualified, if we don't depend upon him for the ability that he gives us, look at what he says in the last two verses, 34 and 35. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, its savor, its saltiness, its seasoning ability, how is the salt going to be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land nor for the manure pile, the dunghill. But saltless salt is good for nothing. It's just cast out and trampled. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what he's saying in those last two verses? Without these three ingredients, we're disqualified from being Jesus's Talmid. And in that condition, if we are not disciples, followers of the Lord in this way, then your Christian life is useless. Your Christian life is just a waste. That's where these two verses fit in to the whole paradigm that he sets here. I came across this little ditty that I want to close with. It says, at the close of life, the question will not be, how much have you gotten? But how much have you given? Not how much have you won, but how much have you done? And I would say, how much have you lost for Christ's sake? And then not how much have you saved, meaning things, money, possession, but how much have you sacrificed? It will be how much have you loved and served. Now, not how much have you been honored and admired? Again, he says in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Discipleship, being a follower of Jesus, requires total devotion, sacrificial denial, and material deprival.